Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We are going to look at verse 15 through 17. We're doing a New Year's message, and I've entitled our message, Limited Time. And let me pray one more time just to refocus ourselves. Father, once again, help us, Lord, to really receive from you this morning. Holy Spirit, move in our lives. Holy Spirit, may your word come alive. And Lord, we just long to know what you desire for us in 2020. So Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2020, and I've entitled our message, Limited Time. Now, last year, I don't remember what I was doing last year at New Year's, but I had big plans this year. I thought, you know what, this year I want to watch the ball drop. But then I realized the Raiders aren't playing, so. Hey, they haven't done good this year, done well. All right, so anyways, I had to get that in there. All right, so let's read real quick Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 17 to 17, and then you'll see why I chose this verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we just read that. You heard it. I'm going to read it again at the end of this service, and I believe the second time I read it, it's going to have a whole lot more weight to what it means and how you're going to apply it to your life. Now, 2020. 2019's gone. Here we are, 2020. I thought when I was a kid, I thought by the time we hit 2020, we're going to be flying and we're going to be, okay, it's not that. The only thing we have is iPhone. Yay, woo, wee. That's technology. No, there's more than that. But I thought it would be a whole lot different. But here's what we know. The world understands the urgency of life. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, the whole world knows that life is urgent, that time is running out. In fact, TV advertisers know this. They want to take advantage of the angst and the urgency that we have in our life. That's why they always say this, hurry now, time is limited. Oh gosh, I better hurry. It's almost, listen, that they're playing off of what we all know, and that is we're all scurrying about, trying to tie up loose ends, trying to pay our bills, trying to get through our 24-hour day and try to accomplish something. So they're trying to play off that, hey, time is limited, time's running out, limited time offer, and it's like, oh, I got to jump on it. No. Listen, we assess our 24-hour day, but we schedule according to the measure of our own life. We're all about ourselves. Listen, this whole life, folks, I'm here to tell you, this whole life is about time. We see we have what? FaceTime. I need some me time. Listen, I don't have time. You know what? I'll try and make time. I'll try to find the time as if we can find it. You know, it's under the cushion. Here's some. Found some. Then we're what? Living on borrowed time. Can I have a cup of time? You know, I need some downtime. I'd rather have some uptime, personally. Do you have the time? Oh, we have all the time in the world. Oops, time's up. We have to make decisions. And all the decisions we make are based on what? Time. It really is. That's why the Bible tells us right here in Ephesians 5:16, it says what? Redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Folks, are the days evil? Are you sure? Are the days evil? Yeah, they sure are. Redeem the time. Listen, here's what I remember when I was a kid living in California. And I know they still do this, but when I was a kid, I remember I used to go around the neighborhood and I would look for bottles that said redeemable. And I'd collect them, and then I'd go make me some cash. You know, that was my job, jumping in the dumpster and pulling out bottles to redeem. Redeeming the time means giving it, finding value in our time, making our time worthwhile. So this is redeeming the time. And here's what we have. We all have limited time. Life is all about time. Time waits for no one. Doesn't wait for you, doesn't wait for me. Time does not wait. You know, the Rolling Stones, they sing a song, "Time is on our side." Have they looked in the mirror lately? I don't think time's on their side. I think they need to reconsider singing that song. But time is a construct of God. God has allotted time. And the time that God has given us, you know what? It's for a purpose. We are to pray to him, to worship him. It's for us to seek him, to have fellowship with him. Here you go. To fall in love with him. Fall in love with the one who's already in love with you. But are we? Are we making time? Are we taking the time to love on the Lord? You know, one thing that I know, listen, you two, when you fall in love, right? The first time you fall in love, all you want to do is spend time with the object of your love, right? You ever have one of those relationships where you call them on the phone because you can't be together and you're talking, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. And what happens is you fall asleep on the phone and you wake up in the morning. Are you still there? Oh, you're still there. Is that how we are with Jesus? Are we so in love with him that we don't want to hang up? We just want to stay in that constant communication. We wake up and he's the first thought on our mind. We go to sleep and we fall asleep with him on our mind. What was your year like? We're going to explore that here in a minute. With the new year, folks, come what? New challenges, new highs, new lows. Happy New Year. Listen, the new year can be scary. It can. Listen, if you've had a hard year, some of us had a hard year. Some of us had a great year. But it can be scary. Maybe especially if the last year that you went through was rough. It can be very scary. Why? Because we always fear what? The unknown. Listen, do you realize that it's not just this next year? You don't know what the rest of the day is going to bring. You don't know. I don't know. We don't know. I don't know where the next hour is going to bring. Prayerfully, a good message. We'll see. But we come up to the end of the year and we're going, okay, here come 12 months, 12 more months. Are they going to be good 12 months? Are they going to be? Listen, the unknown is scary, but do you realize this? We need to understand that the unknown has made himself known. You're like, what? No. See, time belongs to God. Everything that happens to you, God has allowed. And here's the thing. I can either let it tear up my life or I can say, God, I'm going to continue to seek you. I'm going to put you first and I'm going to watch you bring victory in my life. Because he's the unknown. If he holds tomorrow, then all I have to do is stay close to the one who holds tomorrow and my tomorrow is going to be okay. But when I don't stay close to the one who holds tomorrow, tomorrow can be scary. I'm going to make it through tomorrow. Is there hope for tomorrow? And God, I love God. He loves change. I think he loves change because he can't change. He won't change. He doesn't need to change. So everything else changes. Well, the other reason why everything else changes is because everything else is wrapped inside of this thing he created called time. He's outside of time. Only we are in time. And in time, we know things what? Break down. Things are imperfect. But we, for the most part, we don't like change. Unless it's clothes. Unless it's a new car or a house. But if it's going to take me out of my comfort zone, I don't want change. But change is a part of life. What do we have? We have day turns into night. We have summer turns into winter. We have a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. We have a seed that turns into a plant that turns into fruit that then turns into another seed. And the whole process starts again. We go from adult to parenthood, The fetus goes from a fetus to a baby, to a toddler, to a teen, to adult, to a senior. Even in adulthood, we go from employed to unemployed. We go from a new job to a promotion, and then even sometimes that doesn't last. Even for a baby, think about the baby. The baby goes from the womb to the world, and he then begins to crawl, or she begins to talk, begins to walk, and then one day has to get a job. Yay. Happy New Year. But every birthday signifies a new year, whether it's on the new year or not, when you have a new birthday. Listen, do you understand? We say, oh, Happy New Year. It's just another day. Wednesday's going to come. It's going to be. But here's the thing. God has placed markers for us. He gave us the moon. He gave us the sun and the moon to tell us day and night. He gave us the moon to tell us the months. He gave us seasons. He also gives us holidays. And I think the reason he does all that is so that we have markers that we're passing as we see them go by. We're like, boy, time, doesn't time go faster as you get older? I remember when I was a kid in high school, like the last 5 minutes in class felt like forever. It's like, oh, is the bell ever going to ring? Now, 5 years flies by like nothing. You try and put on the brakes, and it's like, forget you. Listen, God wants to bring change in your life and my life. Why? Because when I'm taken out of my comfort zone, I tend to cling to him more. When I get comfortable, I ignore him. Well, you know, I don't need God. I got this. You know, I'm Randy. Don't you wish you were? No, anyways. New is biblical. God, creation, his design, he designed it for change and new beginning. Give you an example. Old Testament, New Testament. New heaven, new earth. New covenant, new command, new name, new creature, new nature, new body, new man, new wine, new song, new. God likes new. He likes new. But he doesn't change. He doesn't need to change. He's perfect. That's why in Malachi 3:6 it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Jesus doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God doesn't change. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. The Father doesn't change. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights within whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There's no change in God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, or the Word. There's no change. It doesn't need to change. But you and I, we are flawed. So we need change. We need it pretty bad. We really do. Change for us, what does change mean? It means learning, growing, and maturing. Some of us only mature with wrinkles. God wants us to mature spiritually. That's why he says here in Ephesians 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, this word circumspectly, if you've ever heard me teach on Ephesians, I always tell you, it's important that you understand that word circumspectly in the Greek. It means to walk like a tightrope walker, placing one foot in front of the other. When a tightrope walker is walking the tightrope, he's not nonchalant. He's not like stepping to the right and the left. If he steps to the right or left, he's dead. And you'd say, what a fool. He knew he was on a tightrope, and he went and did the Macarena. It doesn't work. So look at what God says. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, making each step count with a purpose, with a reason, and with balance. Brothers and sisters, if we don't mature in our Christian walk, we're just going to go, and we're going to be all off balance, and that's when Christians fall. because we don't walk circumspectly. We don't make every step have a purpose, a reason, and glory to God. And notice this. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Watch this. Not as fools, but as wise. So basically, here's the thing. If you saw someone on a tightrope and they were stepping to the left and the right and they're falling, you're like, what a fool. That's what Christianity is like. When we don't stay on that straight and narrow, we're being fools and foolish and immature and not wise. But here's the thing. We're about to start a new year. There's a new opportunity for us to begin the year by walking circumspectly. Now, how do people respond? Well, people, both Christians and non-Christians, they use human wisdom to manage the time, here you go, that God has given them. Listen, whether you're a believer or not, God created time. The time you have is his, and he'll take you out if he needs to. He'll put you on timeout eternally. But we use human wisdom. What do I mean by that? Well, what do I want to do? Do I have time for the Lord? Do I have time for God? It's all his. You don't have time not to give it to God. Then you're not walking circumspectly, and in that, you'd be foolish. The Bible addresses this back in the Old Testament. Watch this. Chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, 15. Here's what he says. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here's what he's saying. Hey, well, you, all of us, we need to choose. Are you going to choose the gods that your parents served? Oh, my parents, you know, they drank like crazy. They did drugs. They slept around. They party hard. Well, then follow that God if that's what you want. Or are you going to follow the gods of the land? Hey, you know what? Watch TV. Be careful what you watch. Hollywood has sin down. They have it down so well, they make it seem glamorous. They have it down to an art form, pardon the pun. What would it look like if you and I, as well as, you know, prior to me being a Christian, I could sin like the best of them. I was good at it. What would it look like if we lived righteous, godly lives as fervently as we sought sin? What would we look like? What would your life in 2020 look like? Listen, before I was saved, I didn't give time to Jesus. I didn't believe in Jesus. He got none of my time. But then I got saved. And then what happened? He got Sunday service from Randy. I gave him worship time. Why? Because I was kind of falling in love with God. I was like, I kind of want to hang out with him and with his people. And then I started to fall deeper in love, and then he got my Wednesday night service. I worshiped him more, gave him more of my time. And then I started serving in ministry. Because, folks, when you fall in love with God, you're going to give him your time. Because that's what we do. That's what you do. Proof is, look at who you fall in love with. You give them your time? No, I ignore them. Yeah, sure you do. Time belongs to he who created it. He who is outside of it. Time belongs to the one who gave us the time that we have. It's his. Before I was saved, I didn't have any time for God. Now that I'm saved, I have eternity for God. It's all his. And I have more time than I've ever had because now I realize I have life eternal. So when I give him my time, he gives me more time. You cannot outgive God. It's amazing. My time is his because he gave me all that I have. If this is his time, because he created it, and we are dwelling inside the bubble that he created, which is time, then we are his. And then to know that he died to pay for us, we are twice his, thrice his. He created us, he made us dwell in the space called his time, and then he bought us. We're thrice his. Wow. That's why Philippians 2:13 says this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Why is it that we live for our own good pleasure? Because we are not in love with God. And we don't care about the time that he's given us. And we certainly aren't redeeming it. Ephesians 1:5 says, he has predestined us for adoption as his sons through Christ Jesus. He adopted us. We belong to him twice for his good pleasure. Doing what God's pleasure is what gives life meaning and value. Let me give you an example. Y'all familiar what a PVC pipe is? Yeah, it's that. You can go down to any hardware store, buy it. It's that plastic pipe. It's really cheap. You know, an 8-inch coupling costs about $9. But an 8-inch coupling can take two long pieces of PVC and allow there to be a flow. Now imagine, I go to a Home Depot. There's a box of 8-inch couplings, a PVC pipe. I grab mine, and some other dude grabs his, the last two pieces. I take mine, and I bring it home, and I attach two pieces of PVC, and now fresh, clean water is flowing to my house, both to drink and to be cleansed with. Beautiful, wonderful, $9 coupling. But the other guy, he takes his coupling, and he uses it for his sewer line. You don't want what's flowing through that. Same piece. On the outside, both pieces of PVC look white and clean. Folks, you and I can look good on the outside, but what's flowing through the inside? Clean water? Living water? Or the other stuff? Because we can look good. Both look good. Both look clean on the inside, but one is clean and one is filthy. That's why Isaiah 64:6 says that our righteousness, our acts, our deeds, the things we want to do outside of Christ, it's like filthy rags. How about this? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Inside. Listen, you can come up, give me a hug, say, hey, Pastor Randy, I love you. And inside you can be flowing with all kinds of nastiness. And I'll think you're clean. But God knows. It's time for us to be clean. It's time for us to be a conduit by which living water flows, that we might refresh others, that we might give living water to drink, that we might bring cleansing to other people when they see that we're living righteously. Not perfect, mind you, but living to please God. And here you go, redeeming the time, making the time God has given you and I count for something. Or we could just be a conduit flowing that garbage. Big old, never mind, stop. Why? Time is limited. Anybody here other than being born again, speaking of physical, earthly time, anyone here have an endless supply of time? Good. I'm not alone. You know what's interesting? I thought about this. Before I was saved, I would sleep until noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I loved sleep. It was hard to get me up. Very difficult. Now that I'm a Christian, I hate sleep because I feel like I'm missing out, like time's ticking away. You wake up, 8 hours is gone. See, if I don't go to sleep while you're sleeping, stuff's happening. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's the danger, folks. Hear me on this. Let's say you were once, like me, a filthy piece of conduit, big, you know, just nasty stuff flowing through there. And one day God cleansed you. And all of a sudden, you're being used for clean, pristine water to flow. Well, what happens if the water stops flowing? You ever pull out a pipe that's been stagnant for some years? And you pull it out and that water, it was clean when it went in. And though nothing's gotten in there, it's just stagnant. It's become stinky, nasty, dirty water. Just not doing nothing. Unfortunately, within the body of Christ, some people have been conduits that at one time were flowing clean water and now have become stagnant, and it's not much better than the ones that are flowing dirty water. Huh. We need to be conduits of fresh water. We can be refreshing. We can be refreshing to the work of God. We can be God bless you. God bless you. We can be refreshing to the work of God. We can be refreshing to others. Here's an amazing thing. I only have a limited amount of time on this earth, right? But if I can be a refreshing conduit of living water and I redeem the time, I can extend your time by introducing you to Christ, where you will receive eternal life. I can find some time for you. A lot of time. How about eternity? That is so amazing. That's a new year. But it should be more than just flipping the calendar over. Listen, Paul put it this way, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, listen, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Pristine and clean. Be new. Be cleansed on the inside. Because, folks, we can all look good on the outside for a moment until someone gets to know us and cracks us open and looks inside and says, ew, you nasty, baby. Man, the old Randy... Love sin, love sinning. But now I want my life to love godliness and goodness and God and forgiveness and mercy and grace and kindness. I don't have it all down. Trust me, I'm a work in progress. But I have time to continue to work on it. And 2020 is a new year, right? Many outside of the church say, Pastor Randy, I just can't. I don't have the time. I'll tell you what, Pastor Randy, if I can make some time, good luck with that. How about you don't make time? How about you redeem the time? What he means by that is, listen, you have the same 24 hours that Billy Graham had when he was alive, that Greg Laurie had when he was like, you have the same 24 hours I have. But what flows through your 24 hours? That's what makes the difference. That's what he's saying. Redeem the time. Use your 24 hours because the days are evil and that we should be wise, not unwise, and that we would know the will of God. Not my will, his will. Why? He's God. His will is better than my will. God says this, hey, Randy, come here.
Yeah?
I know the plans I have for you.
You do?
Yes. Plans of a hope and a future, not of evil. Well, that sounds great. He goes, but you'll pray to me. You'll seek and you'll find me.
I will?
Yeah. When you search for me with all your heart.
Oh, it's an all your heart thing.
I thought I could just give you part of my heart and it would be good. No, I want you to redeem the time. I want you to give me all your heart and I will do things in your life that you never dreamed of. Like maybe even make you a pastor of a really awesome church.
Really?
Thank you. Do you realize
the time that I use shows how valuable he is to me. The time in my life and what I use to give to him lets you know how valuable God is to me. You know what else it shows? It shows how valuable you are to me. The time that I'm willing to put into whatever it is I do in order that you might be saved, that you might grow in your walk, and that we might be able to go before him and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Listen, the time that I spend is to show you that you're valuable. Listen, Jesus says this. Jesus doesn't say, "Randy, you need to find more self-esteem. You need to love yourself more." He doesn't say that. God says there's not a man or a woman who is alive that doesn't already love themselves. You need to esteem others better than yourself. When I esteem you better and then you find the joy of the Lord, I have purpose, unspeakable, joy unspeakable, a peace that surpasses understanding, because I got to be a conduit of living water and not that garbage that used to flow through me. Folks, we have a limited amount of time. As you're getting older, you can tell we're running out of time. A very similar verse to Ephesians chapter 5 is Romans 13:12. Listen to this. I love the wording here, and it's very similar to the verse we're looking at. Chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. You see what he's saying? He said, bro, get up, sleepyhead. The night is done. All your night partying, all that stuff is done. The day is at hand. It's time to cast off. Are you done playing in the dark, Randy?
Yeah.
Then put on. Put off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, get in the battle because the victory's already won. Or you can lose in the dark. We're heading into a new year. If I were to read or have a recording of many people's New Year's resolutions, I bet you could just basically record one 10 years and play the same resolutions every year. You ever hear something? You go up to someone, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, same old, same old." "Oh, I see you recycle. Great." The problem is we're recycling the same sins. Here you go. I looked up. Now, by the way, if you go and do research on the top 10 New Year's resolution, if you look every year, they're pretty much the same ones. I'm going to read the top 10, and I bet you'll be able to guess what number one is. So hold on. Okay, number 10. Stop. I know what it is. Yes, you know what it is. Okay, number 10. Cut down toddler time in front of the television. Yes, please do that. Cut down that. That's not good. Learn something new. Hey, there you go. How about Jesus? That's something new. Daily journal entries. Okay, sure. Start my own business. Entrepreneur. There you go. Get healthier. Okay, you're going to say that twice. Watch. Have a real family night once a week as opposed to a fake one. Okay. Here you go. Spend more time on what I want. Yeah, that's what we need. Get organized. Okay, here you go. Number two, get out of debt. Number one, lose weight. Yeah, same one every year. Same one. Number one, lose weight. You know, I joined a gym so that I could lose $30 or $40 a month. That's pretty much what it amounts to. But listen, this list, did you notice out of the 10, 8 of them are self-centered. 2 of them are other-centered, but I think it's only other-centered because of the guilt of self. Listen, we need to take our eyes off of self and put our eyes on God, and what will happen is we'll become a blessing to those around us. People will then want to go, man, this person, they seem to care. They want to be involved. They want to help. And listen, that's what we're supposed to be. Isn't it good? Isn't it good when we help others? Now, maybe this last year you've blown it. We blow it. We all blow certain times. You know, my year wasn't perfect. I didn't have a perfect, you know, with God time the whole year. There were ups and downs. But here's a good quote. Though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. Listen, I want 2020 to end better than 2019 ended. But how about if I get involved in what God has in store? He says, Randy, I know your plans. He says that to you. I have plans for you. But you got to kind of get in line with my plans for it to come to fruition. Too often, all we do is waste time. We all waste precious time. We all waste. And here you go. Here's my question for you. Here's my question. Here you go. You judge. Don't answer. Don't yell it out. Yeah, I'm a loser. I don't want to hear it. just hold this in your heart. Review 2019. How was your prayer time in 2019? Here you go. You know how your prayer time was by this. How was your worry time? How much time did you spend anxious and worried? The Bible says don't be worried. Because that when we worry, it means we don't trust him. And we don't trust him because we're not near him to know that he's good. Here you go. Number three, how was your Bible time? Uh-oh. Hey, pastor, back off, man. How was your worship time? Now, worship can be prayer, Bible time. It could be singing songs. It could be service. It can be all worship. There's a lot of different. How was your worship time? How about, here you go. How was your witnessing time? Did you share the love of Christ? Were you a conduit to living water? How was that? How many people did you share Christ with? How's your service time, your service unto God? Now, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm asking you to evaluate your walk with God. That's all I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to say, listen, maybe you failed last year. Well, let's not worry about going backwards. How about from here we start anew and we end 2020 in step with God and watch. How he'll blow your mind in your life. You know, many people, you hear this all the time. You know, life's a race. Some people say life's a rat race, right? The problem with that is even if you win that race, you're still a rat. I don't want to be in a rat race. I want to go for the prize. You know, someone said this, it's a small world, but we all run in big circles like hamsters, right? Listen, in a race, you know what the greatest adversary to someone who's running a race, you know, it's not the other opponent, it's the clock. Because you can still win a race and still do the worst time you've ever ran. The clock is, it's our friend and it's not our friend. The fact that we have any time to give God glory. As I was doing this study last night, a song came to mind, Pink Floyd, Time. Now, it's been a long time since I've heard the song, and I didn't remember all the words. I was like, I wonder what the words are. Man, oh man, after what we've looked at so far. Now, remember, these guys are not believers. They're not saved. But see if they're kind of saying the same thing I am. Watch, Pink Floyd, Time. Ticking away the moments that make up a dull day. Frittered and waste the hours in an offhand way. Kicking around on a piece of ground in your own town, waiting for someone or something to show the way. How about the Bible and Jesus? Hang on, it gets better. Tired of lying in the sunshine, staying home to watch the rain. You're young and life is long. There's still time to kill today. Right when you were young, you thought you had forever. You wasted. Man, I think, man, if I could go back with what I know now, the things I could achieve. Dun, dun, dun. Well, look what he says. So, you know, tired of lying in the sunshine, staying home, watching the rain. You're young and life is long. There's still time to kill today. And then he says this. And then one day you find 10 years have gotten you behind. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun. And you run to catch up to the sun, but it's sinking and racing around to come up behind you. Right? That's a cool picture. The sun is the same in the relative wave, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. They need Jesus. We need Jesus. You ever feel like you can't catch up to time? Because you can't. It doesn't wait for you to get your act together. But Jesus is saying, I have a plan. I have a hope and a future. But there's a formula. How about you redeem the time? Because the days are evil. Or you cannot redeem the time and join the evil. We get to choose. Here's the problem. Most people, and this includes Christians, have a bumper sticker. Maybe you don't have it on your car. Maybe it's on your heart or on your mind. And this is the bumper sticker. It reads this. He who dies with the most toys win. Right? Folks, toys aren't the prize. They're the distraction. There's nothing wrong with toys. But if that's your goal, what a sad finish line. As we start this new year, it's time to change. It is for me. I don't want to end 2020 like I did 2019. Why? Because I know I can be closer to God. I know I can get more out of life than just waking up and going to sleep. I know there are more people to be led to Christ. I know the glory and the victory and the adulation and just the joy of leading someone to Jesus is incomparable to anything else I've experienced in life. I would give it all to lead another person to Jesus Christ, to know that they're going to be there in eternity with him. Listen to this. Psalm 65:11. Hey, listen to this. Psalm 65:11. You, meaning God, crown the year with your goodness. Listen to this. And your path drips with abundance. I'm going to read it one more time. You crown, God crowns the year with your goodness, and your path drips with abundance. This is parallel to my life verse. My life verse is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added to me. What he's saying here is when I line my life up with his, and I walk in his direction, and I put him first, his path that he has planned for me drips with abundance. That's true. Now, let me put on the brakes. Some people will say, abundance, that's what I want. Lots of money, lots of this. No. That's what he's talking about. Money fades, gold fades, cars fades, house fades, clothes fades, all these things fade. He's talking abundance of joy, abundance of peace, abundance of just assurance. I'd rather have that than anything else. And he gives it where it drips into your life and you're drenched with assurance and peace and joy, even in the midst of a storm. Because when you walk with Christ, you realize that when there's a storm, when the storm clears, there's nothing but beautiful growth. Especially in the desert, right? We get to choose in our life, in this limited time that he has given us, to walk in his abundance, be flowing with pure, live water, refreshing, or we can be flowing with something else. There's a story. Yeah, I got time. Good. Real quick, I ran across a story of this non-Christian man, this just a regular guy. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him he's dying. The doctor says, We got your test back, and you have tested positive for HIV. And the man is like, how? I don't do drugs. I'm faithful to my wife. She's faithful to me. I don't understand this. Well, sir, the tests don't lie. You are dying from AIDS. You don't have much longer to live. He's going home. He's disconnected. He's disheartened. Life is meaningless now. Nothing means anything. He's numb. Music on the radio, it's numb. He can even be in a crowd, and all of their joy is pointless to him. It's over. He goes home, and he tells his wife, and it's just this empty hollowness. He's going to die. It's over. He had his next checkup. It's time to go get another checkup. He walks in, and the doctor says, "Sir, there's been a horrible mistake. That wasn't your test." Oh, thanks, man. Nice. Oh, he's got a second chance. He's alive now. Now the sky looks bluer, and the flowers are beautiful. His wife is more beautiful than ever, and he's got a new life, second chance. Problem. He's still dying. He doesn't know the Lord. It's just a temporary fix. It's a Band-Aid on a decapitation. Folks, we all are dying of a fate worse than AIDS, worse than the Ebola virus. We have sin in our life, and there's only one cure, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ poured out on the cross, and we need to embrace it. Otherwise, we are the same. We are dying, and there is no hope, and there's no meaning to life, and we might as well be numb. Or we could be alive, filled with joy and purpose. We can be filled with God's purpose and abundance that drips from the Lord. We can walk in newness. We can do life His way, since it was His plan in the first place. How about that? Listen, I want to read Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 one more time, and see if it doesn't ring so much more alive than the first time I read it at the beginning of this service. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The will of the Lord is that you would fall in love with Him because He already loves you. And out of that love, you would give Him your time, because that's all He wants. He wants your heart and your time. And by the way, it's His to begin with. You're just borrowing. So how about we end 2019 going, "Okay, I didn't do so hot. But 2020, that's the Lord's year in my life." How about that? You agree? Yeah, I agree. Happy New Year. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Holy Spirit, You are alive, and You're tugging on our heart, and You're calling us to repentance, and You're calling us to newness of life, where blessings dwell, where we can just be engulfed with Your presence, Lord. That is what we want, Lord. Father, forgive us. Forgive me for my failings, for the times that I just made it all about me, Lord. It was my time, it was my hour, it was my day, it was my week, it's my what I want. Lord, and help me to give it all to You, to make it all about You, because it ultimately is, Lord. Father, I don't want to just be running around on a piece of ground in my hometown, Lord. I want to be running around being a conduit of life. I want to run around, Lord, doing the things that You have appointed for me to do. And Lord, that I would be in Your path of abundant blessings. Lord, oh, to be right with You is to have the joy unspeakable. And so, Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters here. Speak to them, Lord. Holy Spirit, move in them. Lord Jesus, just call upon us to fall in love with You. You'll do the rest. There's no hoops to jump through. just a you to fall in love with, and you love us already, so why wouldn't we? And so, Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Lord Jesus, we adore you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said,